Consequence Podcast Network. Borahe, Iconic Army.
Borahe.
So we just got home from San Antonio and from seeing J-Hope at night one of his tour there. We do have to say we both got sick on the trip, so we're so sorry if our voices sound different, if you hear like little sniffles or coughs from us. We'll try to do our best to, you know, mute ourselves, but we're still recovering. And as always, a concert takes a lot out of us. We were screaming, we were cheering, our voices were trashed for the next few days. We're also recording in separate spaces for the first time in years. It's a little crazy to do it over video. Even though we're 5 minutes away from each other right now, it's so that we can capture video along with the audio. So hopefully you guys will see some really cool promos from us this week. And, you know, who knows, it might grow into doing this more and like getting a full podcast video episode. How cool would that be?
Yeah.
But yeah, we did just get back from the concert. We're super excited to dive into it. Bethany, I'm just interested right now of your initial concert reactions before we dive into that full episode.
Yeah, I mean, it was everything and more. Of course, we went in blind like we always do. We didn't know what he was going to perform, except obviously we knew that Mona Lisa was going to happen. So going in, just getting that first stage, waiting for him to come out, was all of the hype, all of the anticipation. And I felt like the energy never stopped from J-Hope. I mean, we got to see that at Hobie Palooza, where his energy was just so high throughout. But for him to do an entire concert without letting up at all, it's just so impressive. It was incredible. He was so sexy. He was a megastar, like gorgeous, dripping and just like shimmering throughout the entire performance, every single song. It just looked so good.
Oh my God. I love that we got to go in blind and we didn't spoil it for ourselves. Besides, like, obviously we knew Mona Lisa and like that performance, but like we hadn't seen it with our own eyes, not in front of us. Mm-hmm. And a big takeaway for me was like, man, this is J-Hope in 2025. Like this is post-military. Like we're seeing him again. Like it was like, oh my God, like BTS are back. Like they are all coming back. It was just like so, so incredible. It felt like we made it through this crazy drought, because for me, I always think about Hobie Palooza in 2022 as being like that mark, that beginning of military service, you know, like after that, he went right in. And so to have him back was an incredible feeling. And I just enjoyed the whole concert. It was such an amazing experience.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're excited to dive in to tell you guys all about our trip to San Antonio and, you know, every bit of the concert in this episode.
Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lil Tullis, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and this is Standing BTS,
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
Yeah, so today we're going to hang out for about an hour, and we're going to talk about our entire experience seeing J-Hope in concert here. We're going to talk about our travel experience to San Antonio, the town a little bit, the armies we ran into, and then, of course, we're going to get into the concert, talking all about the songs that he performed, the outfits he was wearing, the stages, all of it, the incredible armies that we got to see there on day one, some of our kind of sad FOMO that we had not going to night two. So for sure, stick around in this episode. We're going to be talking all about how incredible Hope on the stage was.
Yeah, but before we get too far into it, we want to say thanks, Iconics, for being here and for all of your support. If you'd like to support us even further and have access to our episode docs, our monthly virtual Iconic Hangouts, and our sound checks, you can join us on Patreon at patreon.com/standingBTS.
Yes. Thank you all for being here, for all of your support, and of course, for listening. All right. So we traveled to San Antonio from Kansas City, and it was really nice because we had direct flights there, and we booked our tickets way back before we even had tickets in our hands. We got a rental car, which made things really smooth for us once we got there. The car that we were in was, what was the name brand?
Oh my gosh, it was a Buick Envision. That shit was a spaceship. Oh my God. I can't
imagine. Trying to navigate that.
No, I didn't even drive. You and Britt drove the whole time, but just sitting in the back seat and trying to like observe and watch what you guys were doing, it was just like, nothing was intuitive. Nothing made sense. The buttons were in weird places. I can't imagine anyone owning that car and actually enjoying it.
Like, you couldn't hook up Bluetooth. We had to like use a cord that then became cordless. And it was just, all of the different gadgets were just not, like you were saying, intuitive. It was hard to find everything. But the car itself was really nice. Like, it was an SUV-esque car, so we had plenty of space, and it got us around town. And the reason we decided to get a rental car is because we ended up staying with my friend Brody and his fiance Tori, and their pups Lucy and Luna, who ended up being like a huge part of our stay. They were so adorable and lovable. It was just fantastic being with their like little doggies. But my friend Brody, he lives gosh, I don't know. Was it the west side of town? I can't even remember now.
Oh, on the west side of town.
It was a good 30, 45 minute drive to the venue. But he was so nice to let us stay with him, and it was good to kind of catch up. That first day that we had, though, before the concert, we ended up going to the Japanese Tea Garden, and that was really, really cool. Kayla, you actually found that.
Yeah.
As a place to visit.
I had seen it like on Google Maps, just like clicking around and trying to find places to do or things to do in San Antonio. And I was like, oh my gosh, like a Japanese style garden. Like, how cool would that be to go to? And I thought that it would be just like this small little thing. It just said that it had like maybe a pond and like a gazebo. So we had no idea, like a pergola maybe, we had no idea what it would be getting into it. But we went there, I guess we went there, was that like the morning of the concert?
Morning of the concert.
Yeah. And when we parked and we walked up the stairs, it was like we were all in just shock and awe because you immediately walk into this massive pergola, like 100 feet across, and what you see in the distance is this huge like canyon. There's like a waterfall in the background. There's like this big, giant pond with like all these little garden islands that you walk through. Oh my gosh, it was beautiful.
Yeah, it was breathtaking. We were really shocked and taken aback by it because I pictured, oh, we're going to go up and there's this really nice, serene garden up there. But no, it's you walk up these steps and then it's like a barge basin down, looking down into the garden, and it was so, so cool. Like you were saying, we had gorgeous ponds with koi in it. There was a really beautiful waterfall off in the distance. The flowers were like in perfect bloom. I felt like since it was early springtime, we really got to see such like vibrant colors from all of the flowers and the plants that were there. So I was really happy with being able to go there because I was not feeling well. Really, like I was starting to feel pretty beat down at this point. But walking through that, I still ended up having a really enjoyable time and kind of came out of it. Once we ended up eating at the little restaurant there.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I feel revived because it was just so beautiful.
Yeah. I'm glad that you were able to go. I felt so bad for you that morning, but then the medicine kind of kicked in, and I mean, really walking around those like floating garden beds were just beautiful. Like, all the flowers were beautiful, all of the different foliage. And it was definitely like, it must not be a hidden gem in San Antonio. Like, I'm sure a ton of people know about it, but it felt that way, it just felt so cool. Like something that like we were just meant to stumble across, that was a really, really awesome time. And then the next day after the concert, we explored San Antonio a little bit more. Like, I feel like you can't go to San Antonio without going to the Alamo. So we went to the Alamo, walked around there, saw, you know, all the sites, learned all about it. We went to the Riverwalk area and walked around that, which is just like a really cool pedestrian pathway along the river that goes right through the heart of San Antonio. And then later that night, we ended up going to Howl at the Moon, San Antonio, which is like a live music bar, because Bethany's older sister, Britt, who was on the trip with us, she works at Howl at the Moon in Kansas City. And so she wanted to go and check that out. And we were like, yes, like, hell yeah, let's go. Because she was going to be able to, like, she had contacted the people and was going to be able to go on stage and perform with them. We were like, hell yeah, Britt, like, let's do it. So that was kind of like our last hurrah in San Antonio, was going out that Thursday night, and our flight was on Friday. So we went out to Howl. It was a great time. We were out for like quite a few hours.
We were, yeah.
Like late, you know, late for us now that we're like 30. Yeah. You know, when we were walking back to the car from Howl at the Moon, I saw these two women on the street corner, and one of them was wearing the J Hope San Antonio jersey, which was one of his like merch drops for, you know, the section of the tour. For every tour stop, he has like the different city as a jersey. And, you know, just like a little bit of liquid courage from Howl at the Moon, I started to sing Mona Lisa to them as we were like walking by, and they turned around. They were like, oh my gosh. And they ran up to us. And who we learned her name is Donna, she handed us two more freebies. She was like, these are my last two freebies that I have. And it was these J-Hope, like Morse code bracelets, really cool little freebie pack. They had just been to the concert that night. Like by this point, it's after midnight. So they had been at night too. This was Donna and her friend Carrie. And Donna, oh my gosh, you guys, we just have to tell her, you guys, a little bit about Donna. Donna's from New York.
She was amazing. One of the best army encounters we've ever had.
I mean,
yeah.
She is like, I feel like we met army royalty when we met her. She's New York. She has like that New York accent. And she could have told us her whole life story as army just then, like standing on the street corner. Her friend Carrie was like trying to pull her away basically like multiple times. But basically like, she has like multiple tattoos all over her body for BTS. She's been interviewed by Korean news networks. Like one that she pulled up on her phone on YouTube right then was this JTBC TV interview where this Korean news station, it's this whole video completely in Korean. They came to her house in New York and they labeled her as like the crazy American lady, like the BTS fan, to like tour her BT21 collection, which is like insanely immaculate, like shelves just full of every single member's every item you could imagine. She was like there at the BT21 store when it opened in New York and like convinced them to let her buy like one of every member. We asked her like who her bias is, and she was like, I'm OT7. Like she's like, she can't even say that she has a bias.
She immediately got out her phone wallpaper and immediately is like OT7. You know, she's got all seven of them on there.
Yeah.
She was cracking me up though with like, I mean, we're standing in the middle of the street in San Antonio. Like, what time was it? It had to have been like after midnight.
It was after midnight, yeah.
And yeah, she's pulling up on her phone this interview, and I think she had made the comment that her children thought that she was going to get kidnapped or something because she was just letting this like TV. TV broadcast or like it's just coming into her home. And yeah, so funny. And we talked to her a little bit about just her experience seeing J-Hope and the merchandise and everything. And she got the little acorn merchandise, mm-hmm. the little stuffed acorn that J-Hope has. Apparently, you can only get one per person. We did not stand in line for the merch. It sounded insane. Like the merch line, people were there at 3 a.m. This was the day before the concert that they had the merch line open. And of course, people camping out, whatever. And I guess the group of people that she went with to the concert, they all wanted a little acorn. And she somehow managed, with the one per person policy, she managed to get like 6 different acorns.
She just kept getting back in line. Like, and they were just like, all right. Yeah.
Just cracks me. She just seemed like an army pro. Like,
here's the thing. Here's the thing we haven't talked about yet. She went to their Billboard Music Award for Fake Love and saw Jungkook flash his abs for the first time since freaking No More Dream live in front of her with her own eyeballs. Like,
she was just like,
we freaked out.
She was like, Billboard 2018 or whatever. And of course, like, I was so taken aback. Also, we had just been out at the moon. Several drinks in. And I'm like, are you talking about the Billboard? Like, when Jungkook flashes his abs and she's like, oh, yeah. And
she was like,
you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah. She was just saying that, like, it was nothing. Also, we asked her how long she's been ARMY. She was like, 2017. And we were like, oh, my gosh. Us too. And she goes, no, before Love Yourself. And we were like, us too. Like, we all freaked out together. Yeah. That was so fun. That was so awesome.
She was amazing. She also, like, went to Jingle Ball. She's been to some. Oh, and she's about to go to Festa. Mm-hmm. She's going to go to Festa in Korea.
Yeah.
And experience that whenever BTS comes back. That's crazy. She already has tickets. Yeah. I can't believe it.
Her and Carrie. They were like, Carrie, it was her idea. She was like, hey, you want to go to Festa? I want to go to Seoul. Let's go. Amazing. Yeah. Like,
amazing.
So cool. If you guys want to find Donna, she's pretty easy to find on Twitter. She's BTS Mommy 305 on Twitter. We really are going to connect with her again, and we'd love to, like, just have her on the podcast at one point, because it was really cool to meet her. She's such a storyteller, and I bet she has some amazing, not only stories about, like, BTS experiences to talk about, but, like, the community of ARMY. She is really connected with so many incredible ARMY and, like, has been part of different ARMY projects and done so much within the community. That is so, so cool. We'd love to be able to amplify that more. So we might talk to her a little bit more in the future, but it was awesome to meet and such a serendipitous, like, experience there.
It was. It was a definite highlight of our trip to San Antonio.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the concert now. Let's get into our full experience. So one of the biggest downsides of just San Antonio day one, maybe day two, this was the case too, but it was rainy, like very, very rainy, which my friend Brody is like, we get rain like a couple times a year, if that. And it happened to be raining pretty much from the moment we were there to the moment we left, which was a little bit of a downside to the experience, but it was having to stand in the rain in line to get in that was a little brutal. I had brought my rain jacket because I did see that there was a possibility of rain on the forecast. But since it never really rains, Brody only had one umbrella. We weren't super prepared. So I felt bad for my sister, who was just completely drenched while we were standing in line.
Yeah. I had, like, done my hair and makeup, and I was like, Britt, let's, like, share the umbrella, you know? Like, let's, like, at least get our heads under there. And she was like, I've accepted my fate. I will just be rained on. You just stay dry and just hold my... Yeah. She had brought, like, a sunflower to wear on her face, and she was like, just hold it, and that will be fine. And honestly, like, if we would have planned ahead better, we could have gone and gotten umbrellas that day. I don't know why it didn't occur to us to, like, get those before going to the concert, but we were just like, oh, it's rainy. Like, it just wasn't part of our plans.
And there were, I mean, there's other things in your mind the day of the concert. Right. So we were not alone in that. There were many other ARMYs who were standing in line who were also drenched. There were some ARMYs who had, like, ponchos and stuff like that. But the line to get in was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. We got in line about an hour before the concert, and it was 8 o'clock is when we were supposed to be in our seats, concert starting. We were still back in the line, and several other gates still had massive lines at the 8 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
So, of course, you have just a little bit of, not panic, but just, like, there's ARMYs who are like, what is going on? Why are we not going quicker? And it just seems like every concert there has to be some sort of fiasco of getting into the venue. It's just a K-pop thing, it's a BTS thing, but we're We ended up making it. We ran to our seats, legitimately ran to our seats, but we made it. J-Hope waited a little bit before going on so that armies could get to their seats because that was just such a backup. I mean, they were just being really thorough with the security check.
Well, they were, you could say they're being thorough, but they were also like literally moving so slow. Like slow, when I put my bag in it, this woman was like moving like, I mean, at a snail's pace. Like, you know, the sloth from, what's that one movie with like all the animals, like the animal world?
Zootopia.
You know, the sloth from Zootopia. That was like the pace of these people checking these bags. And like, I had a clear bag. You could see everything in it. A lot of people had clear bags, even though they didn't have a clear bag policy. And like, they still were, I mean, it was so slow. And it was, we were almost to the front of like our security checkpoint. And then some like security guard comes around the side and he goes, hey, there's no line over here on this side. And everybody is like, where were you like 15 minutes ago? You know, like,
or where, more. Yeah.
Right. Like, where's the organization?
Have been facilitating it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It was
bad.
Crappy.
But we did make it in. I know, unfortunately, I don't know if this was the case for night two, but for our night, night one, there were people still outside when the concert started. And I think J-Hope delayed it for 15 or 20 minutes as long as he could. But there were, unfortunately, people out there still. And that sucks. That sucks so much.
It really sucked. Yeah. But one other little just like pro that made the standing in line a little bit better was... one of our listeners, Marina, and Gemma, her daughter, had made these Meng pins that unfortunately they weren't able to hand out because of certain circumstances. And so they mailed it to us to be able to hand them out. And boy, did that just like sell my heart getting to hand those out. They were so cute. And all of the armies wearing ponchos were particularly funny, like taking the pins because they were just like trying to get their arms out from underneath to like grab a hold of it. But you could just see how much it lit up all of their faces getting a little freebie like that. One of the guys that took the pin, he put it on his head, on his hat that he was wearing. He didn't have any BTS gear. And so I think he liked getting to sport a little bit of BTS for a concert.
Yeah.
So, that was a big perk, was getting to hand out freebies.
And that was pretty awesome.
Everyone else was handing out freebies, too. It just is that typical army love and culture that you get at concerts.
Yeah. I'll say, even though we were standing in the rain and that was like, it is what it is, the vibes were still really great out there. Like, just talking to the people in line around you and people handing out freebies was like so fun and so cute. And yeah, people went crazy for those Meng pins. Bethany, you told me after you came back from handing them out that there were people like fully leaving their spot in line, coming over from like lines over to like
lines
make
over.
Sure they got one. Like, they were quite the hot commodity. Like, people heard word through the crowd and they're like, I gotta get a Meng pin, you know. They were so cute. Handmade by Marina and Gemma, and they put them on these really cute hope on the street cards. And so that was a true gift to be able to hand out. But we did run to our seats, barely got there before the concert started, and got to kind of like take in the stage and everything that was going on before the concert started.
Before he came on,
literally like 2 minutes before they came on. So let's go ahead and start to dive in and talk about that concert experience, just talking about the stage at first.
Yeah.
So the stage was really cool. I mean, Bethany, when he first, like, before he came out, it looked like there was, like, this big, like, tarp, like, a glowing red tarp with these boxes underneath. And to me, I immediately was thinking, like, Pandora's box. Like, they were, you know, all the boxes were kind of raising and lowering, maybe looking like it was locking or unlocking, you know, and it felt like, okay, it's gearing up for, you know, Hope to be released here.
Yeah, it also reminded me a little bit of the Arson Harlem that you see in the Arson music video.
Yeah.
There's something about that, like, bright red color and seeing these blocks of the stage rise and lower, just gave this very lively effect to the stage. Yeah, looked
definitely
like a beating heart.
Definitely. Totally like a beating heart. I love that interpretation. And then, you know, throughout his concert, these segments of the stage, almost similar to Yoongi's stage, where it was like broken up into like 12 different segments that kind of can work individually on their own, J-Hope's would rise and lower depending on like what song he was performing, or if he was out there by himself and they might raise him up all the way up in like the middle one, or if he was out there with his backup dancers. The sides of the stages also had like LED screens, so they used that as like visual art during each performance as well, which was really cool. There was one part, I want to say it was during, I think it was during Moore when he had like the checkers, the black and white checker squares. And the way that the stages were set up, he was on the middle one, tallest up. And the other ones were kind of like stairs going up and down around him. It was very much giving like an M.C. Escher painting, you know, like those stairs that kind of are going nowhere and lead to just each other type of thing. And I thought that that was a really, really cool and artistic way to, you know, just kind of represent the song, too. I really enjoyed that part of the stage.
I did, too. I liked seeing like the stairs and all of that. And he would just rise and lower whatever platforms he needed. So, like, I know with Just Dance, we always think about like that iconic, like linear levitated stage that he was on, and they basically got to simulate something like that. So it was really cool. One of the more different stages, I suppose, that we saw from him was when he performed Disease. I'm pretty sure it was Disease, right? Where he was in the bed. Oh man, that, you know, that was pretty cool getting to see just like most of the stage was flat. He had two sides that were up next to him, making it look like a room and a bed that he's in. And I just thought that that was very fitting and perfect considering he's just had several music videos now where there's a bed, involved. He's in a bedroom.
And it was cool how he did it too, because we could only see it because we were so high up in the arena. But if you were a fan lower down on like the floor or maybe even some of the 100s, like towards the back, just as long as you weren't on the side, you couldn't see the bed at all because it was lower than the other platforms. And he went to the back and like fell backwards into it and almost asked you like, are you ready? And counted back and then fell into it. So it was a little bit of like a disappearing act at the same time. And then the rest of the platforms lowered and you could see him revealed in this bed. So I thought that was very fun and playful. He had a few different outfits throughout the set list too. He in the beginning was in this full red outfit. Now we had, I had seen this. I had to send you the picture. This was like something we spoiled pre-concert because I saw a picture on Twitter and I was like, oh my God, he's way too hot. Like full leather pants, leather jacket. The thing that gets me the most about this outfit that he started the set with is the sparkly gloves.
The sparkly gloves, with the glasses.
And then like the close-up shots of him, he was just shining. He looked incredible.
So expensive. So incredibly expensive. Brittany was sitting next to me and she turned over and she's like, I mean, he just looks so wealthy. He looks like a K-drama man, you know? I'm like, yeah, like coming from Brittany, who is all about the K-dramas, it's the highest of compliments. I'm like, yeah, he is expensive. His fashion and style, like this man is for sure wealthy. Like he's done it all.
I mean, he looked so fine, so sexy in this outfit. I think I was just like mouth agape the whole time, just like, oh my God. Could not get over it. Then in like he did one outfit change after his first part of the set where he was wearing like a bucket hat, classic J-Hope bucket hat. A bandana underneath, and this bandana was part of his merch, so I thought that was a cool way to put that in. He had like this long sleeve like black, red and white polo shirt and then some baggy jeans and Tim's, and this is a very like street dancer style outfit, which for this part of the concert when he was performing like the songs that are from Hope on the Street Volume 1, very, very fitting for this part of the concert and for like the dances that he was doing. I thought that was a cool outfit change for that.
Yeah, it was a perfect outfit change because of just the traditional streetwear where he got to really show off everything that he did for Hope on the Street Volume 1, Lock and Lock, I Don't Know, I Wonder, all of those songs. It just makes sense that he was wearing more streetwear for those performances.
Very much worked.
But then one of the last outfits that he's in, not the last, but one of the outfits that I think he's in for a good chunk of the concert that I believe is going to be one of the most iconic outfits he's ever going to wear. Like, will forever know this outfit.
Mm-hmm.
It's the outfit that he performs Mona Lisa in, where he has the white tank that is super skin tight to the point where you can see his nipples
the whole time.
A white, like, loose jacket that he kind of, like, plays with, lets go off your shoulders every now and then. And then the star of the outfit, which is these glistening glitter jean baggy pants.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm pretty sure they're, like, jean material.
Oh, yeah. They look like jeans, like rhinestone encrusted.
Yeah. And they just are so shimmery, so shiny. You can see the sparkles from that high seats that we were in at this concert, sparkling, still blinding us in our eyes from that far of a distance, like so bright, so sparkly. And then of course his belt says Mona Lisa, and it's just, it's large. It's so large. It's this huge belt buckle that says Mona Lisa.
It was like very Texas of him to wear like a big ass belt buckle to our, I'm sure he's done it at every single, you know, tour stop since debuting Mona Lisa, but damn, it was so perfect. Also, like, on top of the belt buckle, he was iced out. He had, like, all of these diamond necklaces on. He had rings on. He had a grill on. Like, and his hair was, like, all, like, wet and tousled. Like, he just knew that he looked fine as hell. Like, he looked so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So incredibly sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That outfit, for sure, all of armies all around the world are just fainting over how incredible he looks in this outfit. Yeah.
He was in it for like the second half of the concert and like it wasn't enough. Like, we never got used to it. It was never like, okay, like maybe a new outfit now. Like, no, like we could have this outfit forever. It was so incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he had his encore outfit, which was the jersey. So he's been having this jersey that he changes the city name for every city that he's in. So he came out in the San Antonio jersey. And he brought out the replica of the stage that is like a red box.
Mm-hmm.
Kayla, I think you said it's like it could be like Pandora's box too.
Yeah, that's how I felt about it. I mean, the VCRs I felt like were showing him kind of locked inside Pandora's box and then like an outside version of him transporting that to the stage, you know, was my interpretation. But I do feel like when J-Hope is you know, bringing out all of his hope and his joy from his performances, it's like that. I think about the intro to Pandora's or to Jack in the Box, where they talk about like inside of Pandora's box was hope. And that's just what I feel like he's showing us here. He's unlocking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some of the FOMO that we had, though, is going to day one versus day two is at day two at soundcheck and during the encore, he wore a cowboy hat. And it's just crazy to see that he did that, because when we were in the car on the way to Howl at the Moon, like Brody's sitting in the car with us and he's
that night before the concert started, just saying.
Yeah. We were just like, man, imagine if he would have worn a cowboy hat, something like that. And it wasn't until we ran into Donna after Howl at the Moon that she pulled up a picture of him from the concert and J-Hope is in a cowboy hat. And we're like, oh my God.
He wore a cowboy hat and boots with spurs. Like, God. I mean, but I bet, I mean, in that Mona Lisa outfit with a white cowboy hat, like, I bet he looks, I mean, we saw the pictures. He looks so fucking hot. Like, it was perfect, like, homage to Texas, but also just like, damn, like, I never thought I'd see J-Hope in a cowboy hat. That was so the only regret of day one, you know, honestly. Yeah.
He did say like yeehaw and stuff like that during the show, which was really cute.
He said yeehaw and he said y'all. He said y'all a couple times, which I thought was really cute. Yeah. He worked really hard. He did a great job. So let's dive into the set list itself and kind of the different parts of the concert.
Yeah.
So we learned that for the concept of his concert, Hope on the Stage, it not only represents J-Hope himself being on stage, but it's also the ideas of his hope, his wishes and dreams taking shape on stage in various forms. And so He arranged this concert set list into 5 different sections: ambition, dream, expectation, fantasy, and wish. So they go in that order, and each song kind of falls into that category for him. So I thought that was a cool way that he could break it up.
Yeah.
So,
and it is a really cool way to break it up. And honestly, it's really awesome having this background information, because when you get into the songs, like the way that he organized it, it makes so much sense in these chunks and how he broke it up with like ambition, dream, expectation.
Yeah. And honestly, like, so we have this info because we got a little press background, but looking back on the concert, it makes sense, you know, that it was broken up like this, because it did feel a little segmented in the style of each part of the concert. And so, you know, that's like each set of songs work together in that way. So let's go ahead and dive into the first part of it, which is Ambition. And this one features tracks from Jack in the Box, which is all about his passion for discovering his unique identity, breaking boundaries, and striving for growth as a solo artist. So he started... Should we just say which songs and just kind of talk about like our general?
Yeah.
Okay. So he starts off with What If, then he went into Pandora's Box, Arson, then Stop, and then he had like his first Meant, and then he ended that section with More. So pretty epic beginning to the concert.
I was shocked that What If was the song that started off the concert, because we were trying to guess and anticipate what is he going to lead into? Like, how is he going to get things going? Kayla, I know you were really wanting Pandora's Box, which was awesome that he ended up doing that as the second song. But I remember looking at you and being like, What If? Like, really? That's that? And I was like, all right, I love this. When we did our Jack in the Box album review, What If was one of those songs that just puts you in a very interesting headspace, like a little panicky almost. Yeah. And so it just makes sense with this ambition background, this like strive of like, I got to do more. I got to get this album out and put it together and do my best. The anxiety that comes with all
right.
of that.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, you know, if he is going to explore his identity and, you know, strive as a solo artist, go on his first solo tour, that What If has to come into play. You know, what if all of this doesn't work out? And then, I loved getting Pandora's Box. I fucking love that song. I will preach forever that it's like the most underrated song on Jack in the Box. Mm-hmm. Like, so getting that second, I was like rocking out so hard. I love Arson. Arson was like the first song that I played after my divorce was finalized. So just like hearing him play it live, like after everything that I've gone through in the past year, and like after he's out of the military, for me that was like particularly symbolic, I suppose. It was just
the
such
fire
a...
on the stage was crazy. Just the energy level of his performance for Arson was also through the roof, you know.
Yeah,
it was really cool.
Oh my
really
gosh.
Cool to see Arson.
Yeah, it was. It felt like, since we had been to Hobie Palooza, it really did feel like Hobie Palooza round two. Like, these were the majority of the tracks that were played during that set, and so it felt like familiar, but it felt really good to like hear them post-military, you know, like, oh my gosh, this is J-Hope again, like how freaking cool. More was awesome, of course. More was incredible.
Absolutely loved getting to hear More live again. You know that More is one of my all-time favorite Hobie songs.
Yeah.
So I was ecstatic. I knew that we were going to probably get More, but just getting to re-experience it again at this concert was everything.
Yeah, and I think it makes sense for More to end like the ambition section of the set list, because he starts with like that anxiety of What If, but by the end of it, you know, unlocking Pandora's Box, being like, you know, just like going, and then like realizing at the end, like, I want more, you know, and us as fans at the concert, we want more, you know, he's just given us a little taste. We're ready to like dive into the rest of the show that he has for us. So very, very cool.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and get into the second part of the concert, which was Dream. So Dream is dedicated to his special album, Hope on the Street, Volume 1, which delves into the theme of street dance, his musical roots. In this section of the concert, J-Hope conveys a message of continuing to move forward together with his fans while staying true to his roots. So I think it's just a really neat concept that he's so going on and continuing to do street dancing, but doing it in this new inventive way, which is all about what Hope on the Street was about. So he performed on the street, which was a shock to me. I can't tell you how many times in the car, Kayla, we listened to On the Street, and it gets me emotional every time I hear it.
Same.
And I remember asking you and Britt, like, you think he's going to perform this? I would love if he performed this, but I really didn't think he would do it.
Yeah. I had no idea it was like, you know, going into it so blind, hard to think about if he would or not. I'm so glad that he did too. It was beautiful.
It's a beautiful song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very, very meaningful to hear that live. I never thought that we would hear that song live. And so to get that and just to get the, like the full crowd, the full chorus of everybody singing along with him, like every time I walk, every time I run, every time I move. And then like saying, it's always for us, you know, there's so much weight to those lyrics that it's always for us, you know, thinking it's always for him and BTS. It's always for ARMY. It's always for like our community and everything that like this togetherness represents. And so like that was a particularly like emotional part of the concert and just a really, really beautiful moment.
It was very moving.
Yeah.
Like you were, everything you just said, singing those lines to him and hearing him sing it to us was huge.
Yeah.
So then we ended up getting this interlude dance break, which was super awesome because his dancers on stage were really phenomenal and had a lot of personality and character. It reminded me a little bit about, there was one dancer that he had at Lollapalooza that really stood out. Like when we saw her, like, who is that girl?
Oh, yeah.
He had a couple of those dancers that really stood out. We were just like, oh, look at him go. Like he has just so much charm. And
yeah,
it was neat to just see all of the street dancers up there with him and them getting to show their stuff and display their ability too, you know?
Yeah, I think this is something that we anticipated from him for this tour was that he would utilize backup dancers. I think during this interlude, dance break is when he went and did his first outfit change into like the streetwear outfit. By using the street dancers or the backup dancers to like fill the space if he needed to do a quick change or just to, you know, again, back up as he was dancing. I thought they all did phenomenal. I love the highlight on the street dancers. Like as they're coming into the stage for the first time, they really get to like show their stuff. And they were a real highlight of the whole overall performance. And then for like this, the rest of this segment, they were broken up. Like it wasn't like all of them were performing at the same time. Like for Lock and Unlock, it was, I think, just like two different street dancers that were performing kind of like in tandem behind J-Hope as he was performing that song. And that was really cool. Like it was so cool to kind of revisit the concepts of Hope on the Street of the documentary and thinking about how these songs were meant to mirror and the style and go along with the style of like the dancing that they showcased with it. So like seeing the dancers locking and unlocking in that dance style during that song was really cool.
It makes me so appreciative that we watched the entire docuseries and covered every single one of those episodes and all of the songs and the dance that's displayed in each episode, because it gives a deeper meaning to this section of the concert. It was a really cool part of the concert.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. I really enjoyed all of the songs here, like hearing I Wonder with BTS, with Jungkook of BTS. I like turned to you and joked, I was like, now he's bringing Jungkook out, you know, like,
yeah, bring Jungkook out. Yeah, like, yeah,
yeah,
it would have been really cool if that happened. Yeah. but
it was just, it was fantastic. I love that section. I love the the dedication to such a special project that he worked on and clearly means so much to him.
So he had another little mint here, and then he was like, you know, let's keep going, kind of like hyping us up again, saying like, I just want to dance, you know? And so he performed Trivia Just Dance, which is one of his best solo songs with BTS. And I we've gotten to see Just Dance a couple times now. He did it at Lollapalooza. We got to see it on the Love Yourself concert tour.
I think in LA too.
Yeah. And so it was just, it never misses. The lights were really cool. The way that that song lets you break loose, dance, have fun. It was a great transition into the next part of this concert.
Yeah.
Which is when he gets a little bit more into BTS music.
Yeah.
I think the future too.
Yeah. A little bit more into his roots and his future at the same time. Part three is called Expectation. And it's representative of his anticipation and excitement for the future. So it has some of his new singles. It has some of his classics and BTS's classics. And it shows his anticipation, like we said, while also like affirming his roots, which I think is cool because in the previous section, Dream, he's like going to his dance roots. And here he's like going to his music roots and also showing what he has in the future, too. So for this section, he started with Sweet Dreams featuring Miguel. And by the way, this is like when he has the outfit change into like the sexy white sparkly jeans outfit, like for this set. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Perfect timing. Oh, my God. So Sweet Dreams featuring Miguel. At first, people thought Miguel was like there because you could see him on screen, but it was just like showing from like, you know, clips from like the music video. But it was a really, really cool way to show that feature. Afterwards, he did Mona Lisa, and then he did one verse, which is the first verse that he ever wrote on his own in 2015. And he performed that at Lollapalooza, too, which was really cool. He went from one verse into Baseline and Hong Song from Hope World. But then the biggest surprise to us was afterwards he did Airplane from Hope World into Airplane Part 2 by BTS. And this was the moment that Bethany and I and Brittany, we all freaked the fuck out. Because I don't think none of us expected Airplane Part 2. And just that transition from one to the other was just like gorgeous. It was like the truth untold into outro tier perfection of transition.
It was seamless.
Oh, yeah. It was so good. And he like, oh my God, he like put his arm up and like started to do a body roll. It was giving Jungkook during Mama, you know, during Airplane Part 2. He was like walking down the stage in the same way. It was incredible. That was like the biggest shock and surprise of the concert, I think. For me,
that was the biggest surprise for me, too.
Yeah.
I mean, all three of us were looking at each other like, no way. Airplane Part 2. This just doesn't seem real. I mean, it makes sense doing Airplane into Airplane Part 2.
Right.
But of all of the BTS songs, I felt that was just like so unexpected.
Right. Okay, so I'll just finish talking about what's in here and then we can talk more about the songs. After this, he did Mic Drop, Silver Spoon, and Disease. And then Outro Ego was the last part of this one. Airplane Part 2, like, I just have to say, too, the choreography. We haven't mentioned it this whole time.
Yeah.
But every single one of these songs that, like, traditionally has choreo, he fucking did the choreo. Of course, it's Jung Ho Sock. Like, he killed the choreo in every single second. Like, he was on every single mark, you know. He did it at a perfect level. It was incredible. And, like, to see the Airplane Part 2 choreo or, like, the Mic Drop choreo. Oh!
So the Mic Drop choreo was so cool because what he did for this section of that compilation of Mic Drop, Bepsay, and Disease is for Mic Drop, he was facing our part of the audience. So he would face one part of the audience. And then whenever he went to go do Bepsay, he went to the other side of the arena and faced that side of the arena, which was really, really neat. But something about him doing Mic Drop, again, 2017 ARMYs, our first comeback was Love Yourself Her. So
right.
Mic Drop was one of those bangers that came out right when we were new fans. And it was just nostalgic, like very, very nostalgic, getting to see the choreo that I remember learning in the condo when I was still in school with you. Like we know that choreography,
right.
And he was performing it right in front of us. And yeah, it was so cool. And then having him go and do Bepsay, obviously, and then disease. Brittany was particularly emotional during this part of the concert because it really hit hard for her how much she misses BTS, just seeing J-Hope performing BTS's music for us. It just makes you long for it even more.
Yeah.
All of them being together. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. And honestly, like, it was so nostalgic to hear it. And it also really, for me, set in, oh my gosh, we're only a couple months away from having them all back. Like, we've almost made it through. You know, I felt really proud of us that, like, it felt like, we're almost finished with the military service and we can, you know, almost have them back here. But it did feel like it had been such a long time since we heard those songs live. And I mean, we haven't heard those songs live since, what, L.A.?
Parts of them,
2021. It's a really long time when we're like, you know, I'm sure a lot of ARMY are the type of fans where if BTS are on tour every year, we're on tour every year, you know, like we're not missing a concert. So, you know, to have this drought, I think it can be easy to like get into other groups or like watch K-dramas and kind of fill that space. Yeah. But when you hear the songs again, you're like, oh my God, I do really, really miss them.
Yeah. Also, it just makes sense that J-Hope performed Beopsae. Like, that is such a concert song. That is such a J-Hope song. Like, when I picture anyone hip thrusting during Beopsae, it's always J-Hope. So it makes sense that he did it.
Right.
We need to go back to Mona Lisa before we move on, because I feel like we need to give it its moment, because Mona Lisa, by far, is the part of the concert where J-Hope is the absolute sexiest when he's performing.
Oh, yeah.
There were so many moments where I was like covering my mouth, could not believe the way that he was moving his body, the looks that he was serving ARMY while he was up there. I was like, you have got to be kidding me. Like, he did not just do that. The way he grabbed his belt buckle, everything. He was obscene.
Yeah, the choreography was insanely sexy. I mean, very obscene, very suggestive. He wants you to go there. He wants you to think that way.
And everyone was feral.
The hand movement just,
And there were a lot of moments too during Disease when he was on the bed. What a clever way for him to have a moment of rest. But he was just serving like bedroom eyes the entire time. Like the way he was looking over the camera and we see him on this like massive screen, just like looking so seductive. While singing Disease, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I'm glad you brought it. I didn't mean to like skip over Mona Lisa, because that was definitely one of the top performances of the night. Like, you can tell like this is his brand new single. He is on fire. This is like where he's going in the future, is super sexy, super like, you know. And also, we just love that song. Like, I couldn't stop singing that song the whole like week that we were in San Antonio. And so to hear it live was just like, fuck yeah, like so awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Loved it.
Absolutely.
Love every moment. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he did Outro Ezo, which I just felt was a perfect way to kind of wrap up this section. It's always such a fun song to sing along to and dance along to. Again, killing it. He killed it with the choreography. It's this part of the concert where we're like, how does he have the stamina? Like, he just blew through all of these really high intense choreography songs. Beopsae, Hong San,
Airplane.
Yeah. He did the Mona Lisa choreography, all of it. And then he's like killing it with Ego, which is not easy choreography.
I mean, Ego is super upbeat, a lot going on with that choreo, a lot of footwork, full backup dancers on stage. And a super fun, exciting, like celebratory way to end like this expectation part of the stage of like going on to great things. I thought that was really cool too.
Right.
Yeah.
So the next part of the concert, part four, is Fantasy. So Fantasy, this part of the concert reflects the world J-Hope envisions and dreams for. So kind of his little alternate reality. And so it is really cool to see that he gets into this part of the concert with Daydream. This is Hope World. I mean, just Hope World in general. It's one of my all-time favorite albums. I remember when it came out. It still ends up being like one of my top albums of the year to this day. I just adore it so much. So it makes me happy that he performed Daydream. I kind of assumed that he probably would, since it's one of his main hit tracks. But he did that, and then he got into Chicken Noodle Soup. He had a little mint, and then he performed Hope World, which is just so, so perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I could see how this is like the fantasy part of the concert. It's where it's a little bit more of that classic J-Hope, lively, colorful, fashionable statement here, you know. Mm-hmm. I just felt that it was the more fun, just easygoing part of the concert.
Yeah. I mean, the like visuals that these songs like Daydream and Hope World evoke just from like the album and the music videos is so fantasy, is so like, you know, perfect world. Like all the colors are really bright and saturated and everything is just so fun and so light and so happy and like really joyful, I think was what he wanted to bring across in this part of the concert. So
yeah,
I really got that. One thing that really stood out to me from this section was in Chicken Noodle Soup, for Becky G's part, because we're in San Antonio, the entire verse, you could hear the whole crowd saying her entire Spanish verse. I thought that was really freaking cool.
That was really cool. That did stand out so, so much, getting to hear everyone not only sing the English lyrics, but then start singing into the Spanish lyrics, because there were so many people attending that concert who are bilingual.
Yeah. Very, very, very cool. Yeah.
And also, I felt like for an ending song with Hope World, it was just knowing that we got a bunch of the choreography for Hope World 2 recently, it was neat to see all of his dancers out there with him performing this choreography. And it's just, it's a really lovely song. You know, like you were saying, it's just that more colorful, I don't know, fun part of way to end the concert and kind of wrap it up.
Yeah. And of course he's telling us, oh, this is the end of the concert. And everybody knows there's going to be an encore. You know, it's not the true end. But if it is the true end, like Hope World is the perfect song to like end the official set with, you know, pre-encore.
Yeah. And I also want to just talk a little bit about what he said, because I thought that his mint here at the end was so heartfelt, and you could tell there was such sincerity in every single word he was telling us. It really touched me when he said that he wants to keep doing this because making music and performing is what brings meaning to his life. Like, he wants to continue to do this because it is the meaning of his life to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, of course, I'm going to keep showing up here for you. Like, yes, like, absolutely. He really feels the love and gets so much energy from ARMY. He really means it when he's saying it. You can tell in the way that he just emphasizes every word of like, you are what makes this worth everything. You know, this, I get energy. This concert was good because of you all being here. Like, you can tell he really means it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I love to hear that the passion and the love is still there for him. Like, that this is, I mean, this is his true vocation and calling in life, is to be able to make music and perform on stage and bring all of this joy to everybody else through his music. So I love that he feels that way. He feels so affirmed in that. That was really beautiful.
It was beautiful. Yeah. All right. So then he went off stage after Hope World. And then, of course, we get the little ARMY time where we get to see all of the ARMYs and their signs. And a lot of them were really funny. And it's just cool to get to see what everyone was saying and what they were hoping to get up on the screen to show. And then he comes with the last part, which is the encore, which part 5 is Wish. So Wish embodies his hope for a bright, uplifting future for everyone. Hope on the stage brings to life the moments that he aspires to create in reality. And so this last bit of the concert, he performs Equal Sign, Future, and Neuron, which is so, so cool that he does Neuron there at the end. But Equal Sign, before he goes into Equal Sign, he gets down to like the barricade level with the fans, and he picks out one army. I'm assuming that he's doing this at all the other concerts because he did it for both day one and day two in San Antonio. Day one was a girl who I'm pretty sure she was turning 21. It was her 21st birthday, and it looked like she was maybe there with her mom. And it was just such a moment. Like, I mean, everyone wanted to be her. Like, he said her name. He got to see her after the show and remembered her name. It was just really, really cool.
Life main.
And it's just neat that he has this, like, intimate moment with a fan before getting into Equal Sign. But I want to talk about the girl from night two. She was a freaking legend. She's like going down in army history because she was like playing with him and he was like playing back with her. And when he went to go like grab her hand, she like locked that shit in and was like, yeah, you know,
I'm holding on
up in the air with him.
That's,
you know,
right.
And he was cracking up at it and he loved it just as much. So I saw that army saying that she represents all the good armies out there. Like, she's a representation of who we are.
Love it so much. I thought that this was such a wonderful encore, and I was surprised by this encore. Like, I do think typically for encores, BTS will perform like more, you know, sometimes a really fun song and then like a really emotional song, you know, like that last tearjerker to send you off. Like, Bethany and I always end up crying at the end of a BTS concert. But I think J-Hope's goal here, you know, being like the wish section, he wanted to send us off with like such a feeling of like hope and positivity and like, I mean, true hopefulness for the future. And so doing Equal Sign and Future, I think Future was like the true end. Neuron was like while he was talking about all the dancers and giving them like, you know, saying their names and giving them time to like do their own like dance and showcase them, which was really cool. But I always love Equal Sign and Future from Jack in the Box. Those are some of my two favorite songs because of the message of Equal Sign, really promoting equality, seeing past each other's differences and being able to say like, hey, we're all the same, you know, can't we work together and strive for something better? And Future is one of those songs, too, that gives those same messages and same feeling of like, this is, you know, what I'm wanting for my future. And what we all can have together. And so I thought that was like a beautiful way to, you know, if he's going to send his fans off with one last message before we go back out into the world, like, here's what he wants us to be thinking about. You know, he doesn't want us to be thinking about like the what ifs or, you know, he wants us to be able to be thinking positively about like equality, being there for each other, uplifting each other, and like what future we can build together. And I thought that was such a beautiful message. So cool. Wonderful.
It makes sense that J-Hope would want us to leave on a hopeful note and not be like sobbing in our seats, you know, come back.
Right.
I do know that like in his mint when he was saying goodbye, it was really humor, and he was just, he's kind of playing up like, no, don't go, you know, just playing it off kind of in a very humorous way. So I don't feel like, it was kind of relieving to not be so sad and devastated. Like, I don't know when I'm going to see him again. You know, that's a big part of the end of the concert. It felt more like hopeful of, we're going to see BTS again. We, you know, like you were saying, with the message of Equal Sign and seeing him with ARMY, feeling like we all are the same. We all are in this together. And it was a beautiful way to end the concert. It was just good vibes.
Yeah. J-Hope is back. BTS will all be back soon. Like, that was, you know.
I did think, though, I was like, I got to soak in every moment while my eyes are, like, right here with him. You know, I got to take in this moment because I really don't know when I'll see him again.
Right. Probably 2026. Like, let's be real. Yeah. But, oh, my gosh. It was just an amazing, amazing concert. I feel like overall, I thoroughly enjoyed every part of it. I felt like, after we got to our seats, you know, I got sucked into the concert pretty quick, even though like getting into the venue was pretty hectic. And then like it just went by so fast. Like, I just enjoyed each part that he brought us through, every section that, you know, told its own story and had its own meaning. By the time we got to the end of it, though, I did, like you said, I did love that I wasn't crying my eyes out, like being sad that he was leaving. It was like such a beautiful way to end the concert that I just, I loved every moment. It was beautiful.
Me too. Yeah. It's a very satisfying concert.
Yeah.
He really performed all of the songs that sometimes you're like, oh, I wish they would have performed theirs, or I wish this would have happened. Yeah. But he covered all of his bases. He did Hope World. He did Death in the Box. He did Hope of the Street Volume 1. He threw in BTS songs, solo songs. I was really secretly hoping that he would do Intro Boy Meets Evil, but we knew that was a long shot.
Oh, yeah. So. That was probably the one that we were like, what if he did this? But it would have been so good and so hot. You know, that would have been probably like, we were like, it's not even that deep of a cut. Like, come on, he could do it.
Yeah.
But honestly, by the end, when he was doing like the, you know, like Hope World as like the last true song of the concert before the encore, you and I turned to each other. We were like, what does he have left? He's performed everything.
Yeah, like, what's the encore going to be?
Right, so that just was, like, such a good feeling. It's so satisfying. I totally agree with you. It felt like he left, you know, nothing to be desired. It was absolutely everything
he
that
gave
you could
us
want.
Everything.
Oh,
he
yeah.
He gave us everything.
Not enough praise for him. So, so incredible. Yeah. Well, any other final thoughts before we wrap it up here?
No, I'm just so grateful that we got to go. You know, I think there were a lot of factors working against us with, like, being sick and it raining the entire time and, you know, all that. But it just, like, we didn't really get to plan out things how we wanted to, but we still got to go to the concert and see him. And it was just, it was phenomenal. I wouldn't change anything.
I agree. That's all that matters. So. I agree. Yeah. I'm very grateful that we got to go. It was a phenomenal concert. Thank you, J-Hope, for the incredible show and the amazing tour. And man, it was just so great to be back with ARMY, be in the same space as a ton of ARMY. Like, there were so many times where I looked around the arena and just saw all the ARMY bombs lit up, and like, my heart was just so full. Like,
oh, it always fills your heart.
Incredible. Mm-hmm. So we really enjoyed it. We hope that you guys enjoyed our chat about this concert, our review of it, and you know, if you didn't get to go, at least you got like a little bit of a snippet, a viewpoint into what it was like. If you did get to go, we would love to hear your thoughts as well, what you loved about the concert. You know, you can always reach out to us on socials, get in our comments on Instagram, and we'd love to hear from you. We do want to say a special thanks to our supporters on Patreon, especially the VIP Iconics, Eileen, Michelle, Holly, Meg, Rachel, Robin, and Deja. Thank you guys so, so much for all of your love and support. If you've enjoyed this episode, you can write us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, really wherever you listen. And of course, you can find links for all the things in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for standing BTS.